In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll get to an update on Jack down in Omaha, or up in Omaha, I should say. Coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Also, the trash of the day, 16 minutes away. Has to do with some hikers and what they did. I'll leave it at
Sounds
that.
Sounds vague.
Yeah. All right. Hikers. That's all you need to know for now when it comes to the trash.
When's the last time you went on a hike?
Like a true hike?
Well, probably when you went to the Grand Canyon. Did you guys hike a little there?
Yeah, that would be it. Absolutely. Yeah, I would say.
Now I remember.
Hike, I don't know if like, hike to me has to be going up a certain amount of elevation. You would agree? Or no?
I guess it might. No? Well, because I think it would then be, if it was not that, I think it would qualify under urban hike. Which is a phrase that very much exists. So I actually kind of agree with
my
you.
My point being is we
I
took
do think
buses.
You should be going up.
My point is we took buses to the trail. That's how the Grand Canyon West Rim thing worked, West Rim tour. And then you are walking along the paved whatever. Like we're not really going up and down and up and down. So I don't call it a hike, but like true hike would have been when I was in Boise. Like I actually went up, like parked in a parking lot way below and hiked up to the top of this like peak or whatever. Like that
sure.
That'd probably be the last true hike. What about
you? You think that qualifies? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably
the
last time I was in Colorado.
Okay.
That was probably the last time.
So anyway, we'll get to it during the trash of the day. Meanwhile, we know in football terms, post June 1 is always mentioned with contracts and what it means. Maybe guys can get traded a little bit easier. So we're coming up on June 1st, obviously, as we head into the weekend. And the folks over at CBS were going through a couple names that could be traded, right? All 32 teams, you're allowed to carry up to 90 players on their offseason roster, but there's also some shuffling that usually takes place. And post June 1, many player contracts are structured that, you know, you can become expendable basically after June 1 in that particular offseason. That means usually there's some veterans. If you got a huge chunk towards the team's salary cap, they're more likely to be traded or released after June 1. So here were a couple of the names they threw out. Number one candidates for cut or trade. We'll get to the one that we all will be a little more familiar with in a second, but Kirk Cousins, of course, is top of mind here. We all know the situation there. Michael Penix is the starting quarterback for the Falcons. So Kirk Cousins is sitting there and they could save $27.5 million by trading him after June 1st. So that's where it gets a little more interesting. Is there a destination? What happens with Rodgers in Pittsburgh and all that can come into play? Will Levis is also mentioned, like, discount him. Okay. Nobody.
Yeah. Just get him. Like, honestly, you don't want that stink around your new brand new number one overall quarterback.
It says the Titans could save $1.6 million by trading Will Levis. Potential landing spots, Bucks, Lions, Rams. I know he has starting experience, but
maybe if you give him a seventh round pick for a backup, I guess.
Yes.
But just sign Kirk Cousins. Why give up any kind of draft pick compensation if you can just sign Kirk Cousins to be the backup or any other?
Well, I don't think anybody's trading for Kirk Cousins to be a backup at this point.
Not Kirk Cousins. Like Carson Wentz. Who cares?
Yeah.
Any backup, you get the point, Cole. Just some dude who is not a candidate. I don't know. A guy that doesn't cost you a draft pick. That's all.
So also on the list, though, is Tyreek Hill. We
Ooh,
all know.
Interesting.
He has a $27.7 million cap hit this year. He's 31. Last year wasn't his best year by his standard that you have. He would save the Dolphins close to $15 million if he got traded after June 1st, while they would only suffer $600,000 if they deal him prior to June 1. So that hasn't been the hurdle. This is why I'm not so sure this is going to happen, because if they would have traded him today versus tomorrow, all we're talking in the grand scheme, $600,000. That wouldn't have prevented a draft day trade. So
yeah.
Do you think they would move on? They're shopping the tight end Jonnu Smith. The report is the Steelers have been talking to the Dolphins about, they're just going to, Mike McDaniel, who's going in the season kind on the hot seat, are they going to really trade away Tyreek Hill and Jonnu Smith going into a big year?
If I'm the general manager, we're stuck in a tough spot. The Dolphins went all in once. I don't know if everybody remembers, but they did. When they made the trade for Tyreek Hill and made some of their other free agent acquisitions, including guys like Jalen Ramsey, they went all the way in. They now, as a part of that, owe Tua a lot of money, still aren't totally sure where they are with that. When healthy on the field, this is so weird about Tua. When healthy and on the field, Tua's actually still a pretty good quarterback. He's definitely like right around that 15 range, right? I'm not claiming he's but he doesn't make it through a full season very often. So what do you do? If I was Miami, in a draft class in which there's a chance I could talk myself out of the Tua deal next year, I might scale back this year and say I'm either ramping up again next year where I can restock my roster or that. But like,
do you think he's getting traded? I think Tyreek Hill's playing for the Dolphins in week one.
I think he probably is too. I could see it as like, if the season falls apart, Tyreek becomes a mid-season potential trade partner. By the way, in the same article, now that I've got it pulled up,
yeah.
Did you see the potential landing spots they listed for Tyreek Hill at the bottom?
I did.
Only three potential landing spots they list for Tyreek Hill in this article are as follows. The Denver Broncos, a team that needs a wide receiver. The Los Angeles Chargers, another team who I do think needs a wide receiver. And the Raiders. Just the AFC West? He's going to try to go stick it back to the Chiefs after all these years?
It'd be fun from just a storyline and conversation all season.
I loved Trent McDuffie stripping him in that game. Like that moment.
In Germany, yeah.
Yeah, that moment. They got Tyreek more than he's gotten them in the back and forth. And obviously the Chiefs do not regret the trade because it eventually led to players like George Karloftis or the ability to trade up for Tyreek Hill, etc.
If you're wondering, any of the other names mentioned, the Chiefs were never mentioned as a landing spot for any of these players, whether obviously fair. Kirk Cousins, but
you
like even
Jalen Ramsey,
Gibson wasn't listed as a landing spot. Their backfield's full. Jair Alexander, not listed. Jalen Ramsey, as you said. So we'll see. Out of these names, Ramsey, Jair Alexander,
Tyreek Hill, probably want the most.
Gibson, Will Levis, and Kirk Cousins. Who do you have that group? Do you think any of them? But who do you think
Ramsey's
gets traded?
I think Jalen goes.
I think Jalen is high on the list. I don't think Jair Alexander ultimately gets traded. They could save $17 million by cutting or trading him. I think they just restructure his deal. That's the prediction the article even gives. I think Kirk Cousins is not the backup in week one in Atlanta. He's somewhere. I don't think you can go into the season with Kirk Cousins being the backup in week one for the Falcons. So to me, that would be my guess out of these names who gets moved. I mean, it just seems kind of obvious.
Kyle Pitts is not mentioned in this article.
Not in here.
That only recently came up today.
Jordan Schultz is reporting it, yeah.
Yeah, in the last half hour.
Multiple teams have called about Kyle Pitts.
That's your guy.
But it also said that they wanted a day two pick. And are you nuts? I'm not giving you a third round pick for Kyle Pitts. He hasn't performed since his rookie year.
I was told it's all their quarterback's fault down
Look,
there.
Look, I was high on Kyle Pitts. You know that I
you were not
Kyle
alone.
Pitts for
you were
a
not
long
alone.
Time.
I just think overinflated. That's all.
This is a thing I think the human race could be a lot better at. I was wrong. I was incorrect in my desire for Kyle Pitts. I just don't think he would have been better here than he was there, but he's not the star being held back I thought he was. So, like,
1,000-yard rookie season.
Look, if he was available for a six, let's talk. Then I could get talked back into it. But if he's like, if they want a third or a fourth,
he's
pretty much got to be free. He's in a contract year too, is in the sense that he will be a free agent. So if he came, like, let's just say something happened and Kelsey's like, I don't want to play anymore, and then they traded for Kyle Pitts for a fourth round pick and he had a 1,100-yard season, you're gonna immediately have to pay him. And I don't think any of those things would happen because I'm lower on Kyle Pitts now as a player.
Who's the Chargers tight end? Is it Parnum still, or whatever his name is? Because I think the Chargers, if you look at...
Chargers don't have enough offensive
weapons. But you also know how, and I'm pulling it up, you also know how the day two thing works. All of a sudden, the Falcons can ask for day two. They end up getting a sixth-round or seventh-round pick.
Their
tight end is
two,
Will Dissly and Tyler Conklin.
I would consider making that move, because, I mean, if you think Kyle Pitts' best places to go, Michigan history with tight ends being pretty good, Colson Loveland, Eric Gall... You know, you kind of go down the line of some of the other guys who have been successful with Harbaugh. Maybe it's a good spot. Plus, as you said, Cody, the Chargers could use almost anybody.
They don't have enough weapons. Point. That's why I'm not, like, this goes back to just the division stuff. I do not understand the infatuation with the Chargers as of set, because their entire offseason plan appears to be, what if we draft Amari Hampton and just hand the ball off a lot instead of pass? I'm not saying that can't work. There are offenses in which that works okay, but that's not usually the offense that makes you a threat against Kansas City. That's that's a much harder way, Drew, to win the 13 or 14 games that will require typically to sign a, you know, or to make a dent up against Kansas City. So, I mean, Ladd McConkey's still their only wide receiver. He was here last year and it still was a limited offense. The offensive line is roughly the same. The rest of the weapons are not any better. I'm not seeing it, I guess, from the improvement standpoint.
We'll get to the trash of the day in 7 minutes or so, but it is time for a little Jack Watch.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
That's right. Jack Caglione in AAA. Another couple games in, he's up to in his ninth game, I believe, after last night. 0-2, but with two walks. 0-2 with two walks.
A little different. Scared of Jack.
So they were not intentional walks, even if they were being very cautious with him. But we already know he's been intentionally walked at least once in AAA.
And his second game in AAA.
Right. I think this should be against the rules. And this is not just because Jack Caglione.
Like,
in general, tell me what the benefit is. I don't care if you're a fan of the Yankees, the Twins. If you have a top prospect pitcher or a top prospect hitter, what benefit does it do for either in the minor leagues, which is supposed to be developing? The end goal is to get them to the majors. That's the hope, right? What good does intentionally walking someone do? And baseball, the majors, I understand it. Duh, you're trying to win the baseball game. In the minors, you want to win, but it's about developing players.
Yeah, you have to serve two.
You
masters,
should not be allowed to intentionally walk. The pitcher who's in a jam with two men on and nobody out, or wants to load the bases, it wouldn't be two men on with nobody out, but you get my point. Like, the situation where it might help them to win the game, that pitcher needs to learn how to pitch out of a jam.
Their bases loaded, so I guess it can happen.
Pitch out of a jam. Obviously, for the hitter, you want them to have an opportunity to face said pitcher. That pitcher that intentionally walks Jack Caglione or anybody else, that's not helping him out at all. So I actually think it should be against the rules. In minor league baseball, no intentional walks whatsoever. Because if it does continue to happen where he's getting walked a lot, and last night they were not intentional. I think one of them, he actually was a really nice plate appearance. Then you almost have to call him up at that point because he's not getting opportunities. We're not there yet. It's something to watch, but intentional walks in minor league baseball are the dumbest thing.
I honestly don't even like when they pitch around him, because he'll continue to get walks, and this is why his on base percentage has been so good. So in a hitless night, right back on the other side, he's still got a .389 on base percentage this year in minor league baseball and a .394 on base percentage, or I'm sorry, yeah, .366 on base percentage in Omaha right now. So he has, by all accounts, been getting on base quite a bit because teams are afraid to pitch to him. And I will say, Gold, that I kind of agree with, let's just not intentionally walk ever. And he's only been intentionally walked a few times this year. If he starts getting two walks a game, then there's no point. You know why? Because there is not a single advantage to him getting 8 at-bats, 10 at-bats a week in AAA. How the hell is he supposed to develop if half the time he's walking? And I get it. He needs to learn to not chase, or
just drawing a walk is fine. I'm just saying,
but not if they're just even unintentional intentional walk.
Yeah.
Hey man, put 4 on the outside of the zone. Don't give him anything to hit. He's a chase guy. Let's see if he chases.
Yeah,
it's a small advantage, but he's got to actually swing the bat sometimes.
Yeah, I would love to know from somebody that has been at the minor league level, whether it's a player or whether it's a coach or even in a front office position, their take on the idea of the intentional walk in minor league baseball. Like, what? It really does not benefit anybody, man. Like, if you're the top pitching prospect for Minnesota, you not facing Caglione and just intentionally walk him, you're not getting any better. No, you should want to pitch to him in the minors, at least. I get it. In the big leagues, you got to do what you got to do, but
yeah.
I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. That'd be interesting. We'll ask JJ about it. Like, should they even just be like, should it be eliminated from the rules? Cause it's not hard. You don't have to know the rules when you get to big leagues anymore. You don't even throw the pitch. You just point. Gold. You're just like, put him on first, please. I don't want to walk him. I don't want to pitch to him, which is certainly a choice. It is starting to get to that point with him because even one of his outs was pretty hard hit. So it's like he continues to make contact. There's only one flaw in his game, and the funniest part about this is the one flaw in his game is chase rate, and he swings too much outside the zone. The Royals are the free swingingest team in Major League Baseball right now. So a little bit is like, can you look yourself in the mirror for a minute and tell me why this guy can't be in the big leagues when his biggest problem is swinging too many pitches outside the zone, which is legitimately the problem with the current roster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're saying he can't be in the big leagues.
No, of course. I know.
It's just more like, hey, we'd like to see if we can clean it up a little bit more so he can get it cleaned up because we know teams are going to take advantage of this and we don't want him to struggle. If possible, and by the way, he will struggle at some point in his career. Okay.
You think?
I think so.
I think he's just going to hit 450 forever.
Yeah. I think he will have a rough stretch. It'd be awesome if it wasn't right away because that would just continue to fuel the flames.
Is Dusty throwing out the first pitch tonight in Omaha or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yeah. So we both got asked to throw out the first pitch. I did not agree.
You declined.
I declined. But that's tomorrow night because we're going to tonight and tomorrow. But
missed opportunity.
Tonight they got much more important people throwing out the first pitch than Dusty. Tonight is first responders night in Omaha. So that's why it's Saturday.
So it'd be like a firefighter or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not you or police
correct.
Officer.
Tomorrow, though, is live animal night. There will be animals from the Omaha Zoo at the game.
Oh, nice.
So might come face-to-face with a tiger, you know?
There's no way they're bringing a tiger.
I don't know what they're bringing.
You don't know.
You could. Why not?
Well, I bet the Omaha Zoo has a tiger.
I want a photo of Jack Caglione just holding a tiger and petting it.
If they had promised you that you could have held the leash of a tiger while you threw the first pitch, would you have done it?
Held the leash of the tiger while throwing at the first pitch?
Like, so you could kind of look like a post-apocalyptic hero.
Oh.
You're like, you get to do both. You're helping out the zoo. You're holding a tiger and throwing it. Then you can't say no.
Yeah.
That's too cool of a photo.
Yeah.
Instantly, if you get back on the apps, that's your Hinge profile pic because it's like, all right, I don't know a lot about this guy, but I do have questions if his profile pic is him throwing out a first pitch at a minor league baseball game holding a tiger.
It's like one of the facts in the profile is, by the way, this is not a photoshopped photo. This is a...
Yeah, that's a real photo.
Yeah, with AI now, people are just going to think it was an AI photo. Nobody will think it's real.
That's why you say it's real.
But, well, yeah, I mean, I can say it.
But also, like, I'll be honest, of all the AI photos you can make, that's too obscure. That's not something you would fake. Because if you fake it, you'd be at Kauffman or on the moon or something. You're not at an Omaha Storm Chasers game holding a tiger from the Omaha Zoo. Totally different vibe.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think anyone thinks
to fake that. No one's ever typed that into Gemini.
I thought we were about to be able to watch Rich Hill as well, but it looks like he's going to pitch on Sunday. I was hoping we were going to be able to watch Rich Hill, who is nicknamed Dick Mountain, when he returns to AAA, and that's Sunday. Now, tonight or tomorrow is to be determined. Could that be Cole Reagans making a rehab start tomorrow night? Could I be watching Cole Reagans pitch in Omaha tomorrow? Is there a chance of that?
Yeah.
I wonder. It says TBD.
Based on the timing, yes. There is a chance that it would be Cole Reagans.
A little Reagans and Caglione and action on Saturday as well.
Man, you get a major... Boy, Cole Reagans is good for 10 strikeouts against Major League pitching. What Major League hitting? What the hell's he going to do against Omaha?
He might only pitch like 3 innings,
okay,
though.
So 13 strikeouts maybe for 3 innings? I know he can't even have that many.
Yeah, all nine.
Strikeout all nine.
Yeah.
An immaculate 3 innings.
That'd be great.
He'll have 27 strikes, 9 strikeouts.
3 immaculate innings.
And they'll be like, you know what? We're probably fine. Let's go ahead and get him back up to the big leagues. He seems like he's doing okay.
Yep. Just 9 pitches. Very simple, Cody. 9 pitches, 9 strike. Or I guess it can't be nine pitches, but if we're going for the strikeouts, but you get the point.
27 strikeouts. Yeah. 27 pitches, 9 strikeouts, 3 innings of work.
There you go. Yes.
No hits.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Cole Reagan strikes out a lot of guys. You start getting him against AAA talent. I imagine he would.
You would think so.
Cook a little bit. Yeah.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one takes us, I said, to some hikers. We were talking about that earlier. And in particular, I think the region, Cascade Mountains. Okay? Cascade Mountain. May 24th. They lost a party member while under the influence of something we now know. At the time, we didn't.
Okay.
Forest ranger responded to a call for reportedly a deceased hiker. Two hikers had called 911 to report the third member of their hiking party had died. When the hikers encountered the rangers, the pair also advised that they were lost. There was also a steward there that determined the hikers were in an altered mental state. The third member of their party called and was not injured. The ranger escorted the two hikers who had ingested hallucinogenic mushrooms to a waiting ambulance at the New York police unit. they escorted the third hiker back to their campsite. So they call saying their buddy's dead.
They said he died.
He's dead, man.
And he was fine?
He's dead. Totally fine. Thank goodness. But totally fine. They were on shrooms.
If you were on shrooms, you can't just immediately they were still on shrooms when they thought he died?
It said they called for a reportedly deceased hiker. Two hikers called 911. Their hiker friend
Damn,
had died.
Can you get fined for that?
They were determined the hikers were in an altered mental state. They had ingested hallucinogenic mushrooms.
So you and I take mushrooms, and then we collectively decide because we're on mushrooms, think Drew's dead.
I mean,
God, that feels like you're getting in a lot of trouble for that. Because I'm imagining you can be fined for false reporting to 911. But I didn't think I was false reporting.
Yeah, they thought it was a real thing.
I definitely thought the guy had died.
Like, did they eat these mushrooms just on the hike, or do they bring them with them, or were they truly like wild mushrooms? They just brought a bunch.
They definitely just took shrooms
before, there.
They probably just In my experience of knowing people who have taken mushrooms, they love hikes and getting in the middle of woods and camping out and taking shrooms. Very common activity, in my opinion, based on the people I have know and heard who like to ingest those.
Look at this, their friend is
most
alive.
Most of this activity would align. They probably played some Grateful Dead while they were up there and then got confused.
Their friend's alive, though, so that's the great thing.
You know, that is good news. Plus, that is a great friend story for the rest of time.
We thought you were dead, man. We called 911.
You were dead.
What was their reaction when they found out he was alive? They're probably like, he's alive.
They probably were still.
Normally, in those moments, that's pretty sobering at that time, you know? You start going to the police station and calling the cops, that usually starts to. You start sobering up a little bit, you know? You start feeling a little more worried about your buddy who you thought might have died. Have you ever thought about a welfare check? What's the level of concern you've ever gotten for anybody else in your world where you're like, I haven't heard from that person in a while.
Yeah.
Are they okay? I'm starting to grow concerned. They have not responded to me in a little bit.
So when I was in Houston, on a Saturday morning, I did like a golf show. I know it's funny because I'm not the golfer on the show, but I did co-host a golf show. And that show was over by 9, but I was out late the night before, so I went back to like just take a nap at my apartment, and I woke up to like 5 phone calls, not for checking on me, it turns out, from our boss at the time down there, who was like, hey, where is, I'll leave the person's name out of it, where is so-and-so?
We'll just call him Steve for the purposes
of this
conversation. Where's Steve?
He was supposed to be on his show. Like, I don't know, they're like, we know you, like, you hang out with him all the time. Like, we figured you guys went out last night. Where is he at? And I go, I don't know. I got a hold of him. Like, nobody can get a hold of him. Yada, yada, yada. His parents are, like, messaging me on Facebook Messenger at this point in time. His apartment complex was, like, a 5-minute walk from me. So, like, I walk over there, bang on the door. Nobody answers. I'm like, what the? This is weird. And it's, like, noon at this point. Like, what the heck's going on? I saw him the night before. All this. Like, so everybody.
Say he was going to miss the show.
So, at that point, I mean, I start freaking out, too, a little bit, right? Everybody's asking me to go. I'm like, he's not
his
answering.
His parents are
his
asking.
Phones, all this. Yeah. So, then I go to, like, the front desk of the apartment, and they're like, yeah, you have to call. We're not allowed to just open the door yet. You have to call. So, his parents are like, yeah, go ahead and do it. They tell me to call 911. So, I call 911. I'm like, hey, this is the story. They're like, all right, we'll send someone on the way. 15 minutes later, before the I guess police showed up, finally somebody got a hold of him. But that would be the closest to like a quote unquote welfare check.
Was this hungover?
His phone, I mean, clearly he must have been someone because he slept in, but also his phone was dead.
Yeah.
But he missed the beginning of his show. He was supposed to be on the radio at the time. I'm not going to mention his name, but yeah. Yeah.
That's tough. I missed one show. You know, when I was a part-timer here?
Really?
I overslept on a show I was producing for Josh Vernier when he was doing the fantasy football show. I went out to a golf course the day before, had a little fun, but left my phone on the course. I was like, oh, unbelievable. I was like, I'll go back in the morning and I'll go get it. So I knew my phone was on the course. I knew I didn't have my phone. But like, you know, my wife drove me out there and I was like, because we were going to go somewhere after.
Sure.
I get to my phone and the number of missed calls from Vern. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to run the
board. Did you like haul ass back to the station?
I hauled back and I'm like, hey, we can go. There's no show behind us. I'm still happy to do the hour. We'll get the show in. It's an hour. At that time, he did an hour long fantasy show. We did 20 minutes and we left. I got there for the last 20 minutes. Like, we're
what a waste of time. What a waste of time for everybody. That is the trash of the day. Up next, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Something that Patrick Mahomes said yesterday when he was speaking on this station about Rashee Rice and what it tells us about the expectation for him at the beginning portion of 2025 and what he said about Travis Kelce's mentality. That's next here on Cody.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus D&C apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold each and every day at 11:30.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's premier deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
So yesterday, Patrick Mahomes spoke along with Xavier Worthy, and you heard from Andy Reid, along with George Karloftis. Just talking about OTAs, which are underway. Remember, these are voluntary OTAs. That's important to note. When you see somebody maybe he's there for a day of it, then maybe they're not there the next day. Like, Travis Kelce has been there, but he wasn't on the field yesterday.
I always view it from, like, my perspective. Like, if they said, hey, Cody, there's a volunteer leaf cleanup at the office today, I'd be like, I am voluntary not to be there.
I will say,
I would not be attending.
I will say, though, I think they had, and maybe it was Mitch Holthus that tweeted this out, they had 43 defensive players all there, all 43 at OTS, including Chris Jones. Remember, this is voluntary. There's, you know, there's a big reason to believe why you need to be there. Now, I don't want to read into it. I saw on the tweet thread, and everybody's reading into it more like, this shows that they're ticked off about the Super Bowl, like all the, like, I don't know. I mean, that's definitely a nice way to spin it, right? I do think it's interesting and nice to see that 43 defensive players are all there at voluntary OTAs. Do I think that just proves that they're on a mission now? That's a bit much for me. But yeah, it's interesting. Definitely, it's better than the alternative, right? Like you, I think Andy Reid loves seeing
better
Chris
than
Jones
all
43 out there
not showing up. Yeah,
I think they love seeing Chris Jones and Travis Kelce, even if it's only for one or two of the days, a volunteer. It sends a good message, of course, to the rest of the roster for obvious reasons and leadership, et cetera. So I understand that. But anyway, one thing that Patrick Mahomes was talking about yesterday was Rashee Rice, and he said he already looks like he did pre-injury. Remember week 4 Chargers game, unfortunately the interception, and on the return, Rashee Rice had a very, very serious knee injury, took him out the rest of the season. And the hope is obviously he's ready to go week 1, both from an injury perspective, but also that there's not a suspension. We shall see about the suspension. But from an injury standpoint, it sounds like he's ahead of schedule. He already looks like he did, at least
because he got hurt so early.
Yeah, you did have time.
I guess a lot of this is like, do we think he's going to hit the ground running again, or is there an adjustment period back for Rashee Rice? Because he's had kind of a weird run of it. He wasn't designed to be the number one wide receiver, so it took him time, Gold, in order to develop into that in his rookie season. By the end of the year, they go on to win the Super Bowl. So he's got a short off season. Comes into year 2, man's a star. Spends a month of the season looking like, or the first 3.5 weeks before he gets hurt, looking like a top 10 wide receiver, top 5 wide receiver in the NFL. Man looks unstoppable. Gets hurt. Has to rehab this entire time, but because he got hurt so early, he'll be healthy by the start, but then he will have missed a year of football on an injury that typically you would expect a wide receiver to come back from okay, but there's always the, like, are you the same level of explosiveness? Are you the same player?
Yeah.
I feel like I want to reserve that, like, 20% of doubt for me to be like, I don't want to put the world back on Rashee Rice and be like, hey, can you just be what you were week 1 last year until I see it for a few weeks? I don't want, like, Mahomes is talking about a Gold like he's just good to go, up and running. Yeah. And I feel like I want to give him the grace I feel like he should get to have 4 to 6 weeks into the regular season to, like, be back where he was last year, frankly.
Yeah, there's a chance, no doubt. I mean, when you're coming off a knee injury, that it takes some time. I do think we're not talking about somebody coming off a knee injury at the end of their college career, and then you're trying to learn the system also. Get your body right. He knows the system. He knows the role that they wanted him to have. He knows how effective he was in that role before the injury. Yeah. So I would like to think that that should allow him to have a quicker start. But none of us deep down know, you know, what that is, what that is like to come back from an injury like that and immediately just go out there and play like nothing happened. Now, Mahomes saying this on yesterday, May 29th, is obviously a great sign about where he continues to go, because I still think he is the focus of this offensive passing attack. It will not be Travis Kelce. He's obviously going to play a huge role, but I think we saw last year what Rashee Rice was pacing for and in his exact role in the offense. And I think that's going to be part of the plan. It's why they ran it back with the same, you know, virtually the same wide receiver room with Worthy, Brown, and Rice. They believed in those three guys giving them a deadly passing attack. We just never saw it.
Yeah.
And training camp, we all remember play after play was down the field to Worthy and to Rice, play after play.
How many total weeks did we get? 3?
For Worthy?
It wasn't even full Worthy, health, though,
for two-thirds.
Because Hollywood was
Worthy and Hollywood. What did we get? 3 weeks? Just the three playoff games?
I mean, I was thinking about having Rice and Worthy on the field. That was only up until the halfway through the Chargers game.
And then Brown got hurt
in the Jags preseason.
So we got 2/3 for 3 games, but it wasn't even like a developed Xavier Worthy. And then we got 3 games at the end of the year, pretty much all in the postseason of Worthy and Hollywood. So we got 6 games of 2/3 of their intended plan. How many points per game do you think they scored in the playoffs last year? You remember? I'm just curious how it worked with 2/3 of it. Was
20,
the offense
20?
Was the Chiefs' like offense four, better in the first 3 weeks than it was the rest of the way? I guess that's part of where my basis of how was your plan working when you had most of the plan together? Because I would say that missing Hollywood Brown last year, in my opinion, was the smallest piece of the.
I mean, they scored 23, 32, and 22 in the playoffs. The first 3 weeks of the season, 27, 26, 22.
Okay, so better probably than they were in a points per game.
Super Bowl, 22 points.
But not significantly better. And I guess actually in a lot of ways more concerning that they only scored 20 cents against Cincinnati because Cincinnati was letting up 60 to anybody at some point last year.
I think, too, and again, it's Patrick Mahomes, and based on what we talked about yesterday, you can only read so much into what he says, but he was quoted yesterday saying Rasheed had no limitations when he went through with him in Dallas. So he feels like Rasheed's all the way back in terms of comfortable, recovered. He'll be full go if he's available and not suspended in week one, by the sounds of it, at least.
Is it unreasonable to assume that this point, this team should be 28, 29 points per game next year?
I can't say that yet until I know if they have actually fixed the left tackle issue and the problems that that also presents. I can't say that yet.
28-29 is like, that's like the sixth best offense.
I know, but
okay?
I'm not,
I didn't put him at 33 like Detroit last year.
Sure. I think I can't answer that until I see who the left tackle is and does that left tackle look like he's the real deal? Not to mention still, even at left guard, Caliendo or Kingsley. I'm not as worried about, frankly, what the wide receiver room, if they're healthy week one and all available week one, Worthy, Rice, and Hollywood. Like, I'm excited to see all three on the field together, but I'm not I actually do believe that works. If they're all three healthy and nobody's suspended and they're ready to go week one, like I think they're good there. But to fully execute the offense the way I think they planned on it before the injuries and everything, left tackle has to be much better. They don't have to get all pro left tackle play. I hope eventually one day maybe they get that. That'd be awesome. But that's not what anybody's asking for. Can you get above average? Would be amazing. Left tackle play, average left guard play, and that's a huge difference for what Patrick Mahomes and the offense can do.
I guess the question is, what do you think was the bigger deterrent for the offense last season in their ability to score just points? Bad left tackle play or the fact that they had no wide receivers except for Xavier Worthy?
I think it was more of the wide receiver thing, to be honest.
I kind of do, too. I think Patrick Mahomes has been in a Super Bowl with a different left tackle every single time. He's had five different left tackles in five different Super Bowls.
Sure.
So like at this point, the man can play with an average left tackle or below average left tackle. He's done that a couple of times. Now, he's lost the Super Bowls in which the left tackle play is abysmal in the actual game.
So I'm saying you just need average to above average.
Games,
there's like a difference. Like, are you getting like bottom five left tackle play or are you getting 15th left tackle play? That's a big gap, clearly.
Huge. Well, yeah, huge gap. Oh, man. But they were still winning the games. It's so funny with Kingsley. They won both the games that Kingsley was getting his ass kicked.
They did.
Against, just to point out, a Cincinnati team who they held to 25,
terrible defense,
who scored 30 points a game last year. Terrible defense. I'm talking about what their defense.
The Chiefs'
was able to
defense
do.
Came through.
I thought you were. I thought you were saying.
No, I just meant like they still won the game.
The Chiefs on the line, they couldn't stop Trey Hendrickson, but like that defense stunk otherwise.
Yeah, and still got to 26 somehow, which is not a bad number to get to in most games. And beat the Ravens, so it's like I don't. Like,
and the Ravens weren't as good defensively last year as they.
No,
were
they
before.
Weren't, but they weren't bad. Yeah, they weren't sensey. Yeah. I don't want to lump them in with that, but it's like I do really wonder whether or not I don't know, man. I think it was more the wide receivers because it's 2 years in a row that I've watched the offense kind of fail. And the year before, I didn't think their left tackle play was abysmally bad. It was mediocre. It was fine. It was what you're talking about. 15th best in the league, and the offense still didn't look good, but they were throwing to nobody. It was Rashee Rice's rookie year, and they were waiting for all this stuff to kind of come
Kadarius
together.
Tony and Sky Moore were still considered big parts of the offense.
So I kind of just feel like if Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice are healthy on the field, even if it is 20th best left tackle play, I think we're going to see a serious jump in offense. Now, if it's like 10th, that's when I start entertaining the I expect them to be a 30-point per game offense.
Sure.
Like, I don't know if that'll hold, but like that's when my expectation starts changing a little bit, at least based on where they were before. Is there any part of you, by the way? I did hear this from Patrick Mahomes yesterday, so I want to ask a question maybe after it. Patrick Mahomes was asked about Travis Kelce, getting him in the building, seeing how he's feeling. A lot of people feel like this is his ride into the sunset season, even though that's not what Travis Kelce has said publicly. This is what Mahomes said.
If it's the last ride, you would never know. I mean, the way he's talking about football, the way he's talking about working and trying to be even better this year than he was last year. I mean, he's not. It doesn't seem like a guy that it's his last ride. Like he's tired of the job. I mean, he's in here, he's working, I know his body feels good. I think it feels better than even last year before going into last season. Just because I think he's motivated to go out there and have an even better year than he had this last.
You can tell, and everybody's been in a job when somebody's checked out. They're looking at other jobs. They're trying to quit.
For sure.
They're going through like they want it. They want to still do the job because it's a cool job, but they're not really interested in like all the cursory stuff that goes with it. I told you yesterday, Meyer, 2 days ago, my Taylor Swift theory based on that. But let's just talk about this for a second. Him and Mahomes are very close. Mahomes is saying if it is his last ride, he's not saying that, which means he's not saying it out loud to Patrick yet, which means I don't think he's just like decided no matter what yet. This is his last year.
Yeah, I don't think he's going on a farewell tour publicly. Yeah. He's not going to get a gift basket at every road game, you know, like they do in baseball, Derek Jeter and others, you know.
Yeah, gave him a canoe or whatever. You know? That's the, you know, another reason not to like him, doing the farewell tour. Getting canoes from teams and stuff or whatever. I don't remember what the Royals gave him. But the point is that when you look at this, I still think there's like a 25% chance he's here for more than this year. The real question is whether or not there's a number that makes sense if he says he wants to come back to the Chiefs and Travis Kelce. I think the contract becomes a bigger issue because I think they've worked their money around in a way that they're preparing to take Travis Kelce off their books. And if he wants to come back, then you got to get into a contract business they haven't gotten into, void years and a million other things. I'm just not 100% sure he's done after this.
Oh, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if I'm at, you said 20% is where you are, 25%?
Yeah.
I think it's like a 10% chance. I mean, I think the way the offseason is gone, also just knowing how old he will be at the end of the season.
That's the biggest
thing.
You know,
I mean, and yes, the contract thing. And I truly deep down believe he will only play for the Chiefs. So like I'm convinced like if the contract thing doesn't work, I also think he would just retire too. Like he's not gonna play 1 year somewhere else and end his career not in the Chiefs uniform. I just that is not where this is ending in my opinion. So
there are players that it ends that way. I am totally with you on the Travis Kelce front. I would be I'd be kind of stunned if he was the kind of player
to
somewhere else.
So I do think this is it. Or maybe they come up with. But I think this is pretty clearly depending on assuming he and the Chiefs are once again in the spot we think they're going to be in. Is one of the best teams in the AFC and all that. Are they back in the Super Bowl? Does he go get to a Super Bowl again and win a ring? Is it a year in which they haven't had in 7 years, which is they don't make it to an AFC title game? Some of that could factor in. But I think if he has like an 850, 900-yard season, they get to another AFC title game, maybe they win it, maybe they don't. Like I think... I think it's done at that point.
It'd be fun to give Travis gifts, all the way through his final season. He could just go to like LA and they do all this stuff. I looked it up, by the way. The Royals gave Derek Jeter $10,000 to his charity, as did multiple teams. Right. Real question with the gifts he got, because now I'm looking through the gifts that he got.
Derek Jeter.
Do you think these are displayed anywhere? Or do you think he just bought a storage unit and they're just sitting in there?
I mean, the monetary. How many were monetary?
Okay, so three teams gave him a donation to his charity. We obviously just know where those went. Now this is an article that ranked them.
Okay.
He was given a bench made of bases and bats and balls. And it says Derek Jeter, the New York Yankees from the Chicago White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
He has a pinstripe guitar from somebody. He has an actual number from Wrigley. Now that I assume he kept. Like one of the hang numbers, the hang tag numbers, the number two from Wrigley. I'm assuming that you can find a way to display that, okay?
It depends. Does he have...
But cowboy boots, what's he doing with those? The pinstripe cowboy boots with the two on them? What do you even... if you're Derek Jeter, your house is too nice to be displaying cowboy boots. Yankee pinstripe cowboy boots, right? Or do you just build the world's biggest trophy room and all this stuff goes in it?
That's the question I don't know. Does he, out of the multiple properties he has, does he have one where the whole, the basement is just full?
You rotate it like you're a museum?
Is the basement that? Or if you got multiple properties, you can space some of this stuff out. Otherwise, it's in storage, or maybe he gifted it to somebody else or other family members or something, too.
I would guess the latter of what you just said, Gold. I feel like he's, a lot of what he got, he probably has no purpose. There's no purpose.
What's the best gift on the list, you think? Other than the donation to his charity.
The Reds are at 10 with a Barry Larkin and Concepcion signed jersey. So they didn't even give him Yankee
stuff.
Wait,
they just gave him a Reds jersey?
They're signed and stuff.
Okay, all right.
Let's see.
Is there anything that's wow, that's
pretty cool. Someone gave him a cool pinstripe surfboard.
Is Derek Jeter going out surfing?
Personalized wine bottle and more stuff for his... He got a canoe and a Don Zimmer jersey. Hold on, I'm going.
The canoe is interesting. Explain that. Would you think he's out there canoeing?
No.
You think that's
the Red
happening?
Sox gave him the same thing, the green number things, but it said
from
respect, but with the two.
That's cool.
So it's in the style of the Green Monsters, obviously custom made, but they did that. Hold on. Now I'm down to number one.
Someone wants to know if it's from the text line. Someone says no airplane or anything. Nobody gifted him a jet or anything like that.
No, number one was from the New York Yankees on this list.
What did they get?
He got a massage therapy machine. I'm sure that was expensive. Framed patch.
A massage therapy machine. You go into this machine
probably
and it acts like it's giving you a massage?
Probably like a hyperbaric chamber.
He
probably uses that on a regular basis.
Okay. Yeah, maybe
Deshaun should have gotten that. Framed patches from 14 All-Star games.
Oh boy.
10-day trip to Tuscany. Inscribed Waterford crystal. And then a $222,222.22 check to turn to. He got a respect salute from astronauts at the International Space Station. Obviously, the Yankees went all out, man. They went all out. The number two list on this was he got from the Orioles an official U.S. Navy captain's hat.
Oh.
Like an official captain's hat, because he's the captain,
cool.
Right?
Yes, he is.
Makes sense.
Uh-huh.
A bucket of jumbo steamed crabs, oversized personalized crab mallet, a number two shaped crab $10,000 check to their charity in his name.
I think one
they didn't even give it to his charity.
You mentioned a bench that was made out of bases.
Bats and bases.
I think that actually is maybe the best one that he's got.
Yeah, because somebody on the text line mentioned that even for Mariano Rivera, the Twins gave him a rocking chair made from bats he had splintered against him.
That's pretty awesome.
That's dope.
That's cool, huh?
That's cool. That's like so specific. Like we've just been saving up bats that you shattered against our players in turn. That's sweet.
Why were they keeping those?
You know what? Probably at some point when it became pretty clear he was going to go down as one of the single greatest
they just started doing
closers of all time, they probably did it towards the end.
Yeah.
Shattered enough bats even in just a couple of years, like, screw it, let's save these up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll put them all together. That makes sense. You know, the cutter, the whole thing. That's cool. That's better than anything I just listed for Jake.
Yeah, that's a very cool item.
What would Travis get, just out of curiosity, if he did the farewell tour?
Oh, jeez. We were going to see that in the NFL.
There's going to be so none. There's going to be so many Taylor Swift theme things immediately.
Yeah.
Is there anything that he's like,
he loves shoes, cars,
I mean, more like the sentimental stuff.
I imagine like there'd be like a custom pair of Jordans with his number on it. I'm assuming that would be part of it. But like, what is the splintered bat equivalent? You know, I don't think, has anybody gotten a hip replacement since trying to guard Travis Kelce in his many years? Blown out cleat? Like, there's not an equivalent, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah, there's not. No.
I think it would be hilarious if the referee who Travis...
The one he said he should go to Foot Locker?
Oh, yeah. Whoever's flag Travis threw at the ref, that ref should sign it and give it to him as a going away. That I think, is a sentimental...
I do think, like, getting an autographed photo of every person who just, like, you wrecked in a game is worth it. But it's like, that's got to be a pretty big collage, you know? And that's more like an NFL gift than like an individual team being able to do that.
Yeah.
I think it'd just be a lot of stuff with 87 on it. Custom wine bottle, 87 on it. Custom shoes, 87 on it. They donate some money to his foundation, you know? It'd be the normals. It'd be the things you expect.
Yeah, it's just not an NFL thing. It's definitely a baseball thing, and very select few baseball players do it.
NFL players don't usually go out like that.
Tom Brady didn't just go every city he went to and get a gift basket.
It's
on the
a basketball
way out.
It's too.
Is it happening in basketball a little bit? I always think of baseball.
Notably, Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe did the retirement tour.
Kobe did the tour.
Yeah. Baseball just happens just way more frequently.
I think LeBron, I don't think he should, but I think LeBron would. I could see LeBron doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Announcing before the season, hey, this is the last ride, I'm done.
I mean, I don't really care. I mean, it's kind of egotistical, but like, I don't care if you just want to like go place by place and they give you stuff.
Someone want to know who gave the canoe to Jeter? Was that the Giants because of McCovey Cove?
Yeah.
It was the Giants. Yeah. Okay.
It was pinstriped and it had his number on it.
When is he going to use that?
Never. That's what I'm asking. Is it just in a storage unit? Or did he
the
find
canoe
some
in particular?
Way? What the hell are you going to do with a canoe? That's a tough thing to. And I guarantee you, his house looks like it's all just like terrazzo, just stone in every surface. Like it's probably the sleekest, most modern looking mega mansion. That's a tough place to display a canoe.
I bet you he gave it to somebody.
Like his cousin just has it up in his house?
Well, or if a family member, I don't know, likes canoeing or.
You can't take the thing on the actual water. That'd be wild.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I think...
I mean, it can. I'm sure it holds water, but, like, I don't think anyone's actually taking it out.
I've got this cousin that just canoes all the time, you know? This is going to be a great canoe for them.
I thought of you, Jerry, when I got this, you know?
Okay.
I don't know.
Up next... We'll get to what's trending and then talk more about how big of a series the Royals have this weekend against the Tigers.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park.
It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.